Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody, and part two of our interview with Lorelei Drock. In part one, we talked about her first few near-death experiences, and we're going to take it beyond that today and talk about the void, other things that she experienced, and a lot of things that we can both learn. If you haven't heard part one yet, I recommend starting there. That's the last episode, so episode number 449. Okay, let's jump right back into it.
From the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Last experience we're going to talk about here. You had an experience with the void, and I get people mentioning the void to me all the time. Not everybody experiences it, but some do. And I hear it explained in different ways. So tell me about your experience, and then let's talk a little bit more about it.
Well, this one, I had inadvertently ingested something with monosodium glutamate, and I'm highly sensitive. So if you know people with those kinds of sensitivities, it does trigger some kind of like those autonomic nervous type issues. And so once again, I stopped breathing in my sleep. I've been tested for apnea. I don't have it. But I stopped breathing in my sleep. And I was in this black velvety void that seemed to go on for an expanse of forever. And it kind of reminded me of like being in the womb, to be honest, you know, like how that might seal. And I remember being shocked because I was like, I'm here. Why am I here? You know, why? What's going on? I'm like, there's no way I can have another, you know, I can't be dead again. You know, like I thought we were done with this. I did what you said. You know, I agreed to come back to be of service. I forgot to say that with my fourth experience. I knew what was coming, and I even said, no, I want to get back in my body. Get me back in there now. I worked too many lifetimes to get to what we're going to experience. So I thought I was done. You know, I'd done everything else. I was kind of shocked and a little angry. I'm like, why am I here? What's going on? I've learned everything. And kind of probably some ego playing in there. Like, and I'm like, where's my body? And the same thing kind of happened over again as far as getting into my body. This time my heart hit like 8 times. It felt, you know, but it was not as painful as the first. So I know I wasn't gone as long, but I remember asking these things and why I was here. And I had this huge, I'm still integrating this because this was just December of this past year. But I remember it was pivotal in the sense that it was the direct opposite of my first experience. There was still love there and there was still nurturing, but not amplified. It was like, you know, being in this darkness. But I felt this, I connected to consciousness and I felt this extreme loneliness. Like I understood for the first time in my being why we were created, like why that consciousness, that source was so compelled to make life. Because it was sentient and conscious energy, frequency, light, and had all these creations and ideas. And can you imagine having eternity with all this awareness and knowing and absolutely nothing to share it with or anything to interact with? Just this, just you. It's just like that love. I can't explain this as well as I would like to. So I understood why I was having this experience, why I was alive, and what I was helping doing. It was like this huge symbiotic love, like that consciousness got to experience everything there was through me, but me as a collective could see itself in everything. I understood that we were like a mirror of this conscious energy source, God, whatever you would like to label. To create and expand from, like we were just all these little fractals of light from this same thing. But it showed me like how he created the first and then they could interact. And that one was like, you know, there's nobody here completely understands me. And then that one fractalized and all these creations came from this conscious need to be understood, to be loved, to have something outside of ourselves to truly see ourselves. And so this depth of that loneliness prior to and why it was created was very profound for me. But as I was leaving this particular experience, you know how I had the booming voice in the beginning? This was a female voice that I can't say I can connect with anything. That was very loud as I was coming back, that said, there's only death because you believe in it or you continue to believe in it. The you felt like a collective you, like, you know, how we're all fractals of the one, at least from my experiences. I won't claim it for anyone else. Through that, I understood like two things. I kept creating death experience because I felt like that was the only way. Like people think going to heaven and dying is the only way you can connect with this love, this source. And that is not true. And I kept creating these experiences to go home, to feel that complete detachment, that freedom, when you can have it here. But anytime I got too caught up in my story or my story felt too out of control, I would go home. And also, I understood that I was the one creating the veil from, like, in my first death experience, they had given me the understanding, like the caterpillar story. I told my mother that we were in the caterpillar stage of soul, you know, like human evolution. Through my other ones, they're like, it's the chrysalis moment where your DNA is all being rearranged to take flight. We're headed towards light bodies and more conscious, loving awareness in that higher frequency of consciousness. So I just understood all of these things. And because those frequencies, when somebody passes, they're at a higher state of frequency. They left the density that creates their physical body. We were creating that veil that separates us. Like, you know how I said I am able to connect with spirits, animals, trees, people that have passed, all of these things. They have consciousness, including our body. One of my experiences that, like, our body also has these energetic agreements with these organs, and they're their own consciousness choosing to have this energetic agreement to be our physical body. So they have voices and consciousness and needs as well. So my understanding through all of this was like my belief and the things that I had created were the only thing separating me from spirit, from my loved ones, everything, because in my mind, they had died just because they changed form when they were still all around me and trying to communicate, but I couldn't recognize it. So they were just saying, like, we keep creating death in part to have new experiences, but it is a belief, just like heaven, hell, all those other things. They're beliefs that have been built upon. So anyway, that was that experience.
So do we need a different term for death? Some kind of a term for when our physical body stops working?
I call it transcendence, to be honest. It's the closest thing I can say is, you know, you transcend your physical vessel.
Okay.
And you become more light and energy. You're still conscious, still same personality, going and doing and living different things. But there is no death in that sense. Conscious energy. Energy cannot be created, you know, cannot be destroyed. So that carries on.
I asked you earlier to try to figure out, now that you've had a lot of time to think about it, about the male voice that you heard. To be fair, tell me a little bit about the female voice. Was it this big booming, here's what you have to do kind of experience?
It wasn't necessarily booming, but it was very like, I almost felt like in a loving way, like, you silly girl. You know what I mean? Like that kind of intonement, like almost exasperated. Like, are we done yet? You realize you keep creating this, you know, kind of thing.
Well, you're a parent. Don't you do that with your kids sometimes?
Yes. It felt very maternal. Ever since I was a small child, I've had Mary Magdalene type energy and visitation of that kind of energy. And in between my third and fourth, 2019, I had this huge profound experience with a being known as Yeshua. He told me not to call him Jesus. He said Yeshua. That was probably more profound than my NDEs almost. Anyway, so like to me, I understand that. It felt more like those kind of parental, motherly beings, if there were to be a label. I mean, that's the more Christian label. To me, they go by many names, as they say, but it's the same energy.
I promised that we would talk a little bit more about the void. This is something that I don't totally get. It's not something that I find in religious scripture and places like that. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I've had it described to me as a very dark place where there's like nothing, also described as this dark place where there's everything and there's life. And I believe you mentioned feeling lonely, but also love and nurturing. Take me down that path. Try to explain that a little bit more.
Well, my understanding of this particular void, I'm not saying they're all the same.
Yeah, they may be different for
my
everybody.
Understanding is there is various, you know, places like when I go to what I call the white void is more like the quantum space where everything's created and all knowledge is there at once. That's a different void. This particular one I understood to be outside of the whole creation. See, my understanding is heaven, hell, you know, whatever labels you want to put, and all of these different levels and sublevels of all of this are part of that whole creation that we have created and have created, where this particular void was like outside of that. It was outside of all, outside of creation in that sense, if I can say it like that. So that in itself was very, I don't want to say, I don't like the word trauma at all, but it was very surreal to me. Like, okay, because it was almost like looking back on creation itself. I felt safe. It seemed to go on forever, but I didn't sense anything there, you know, other than this presence of consciousness.
Do you feel like it's a temporary state?
Possibly. You know, my kids had me watch the show Supernatural, and I never had. But do you know how, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but maybe your audience has, where they send these angels to this place. They don't reincarnate. They don't do anything. They go to rest in this place that's just like this black void, right? Sort of. And it kind of, to me, it was like that. Like it was outside of creation. It was outside everything. And where like spirit just goes to be at rest, literal rest, where like other areas of this whole creation, you know, spirits are being guides or they're continuing to work on something or having other experiences. Here is like rest. It's just that eternal peace. Like if you want to go to rest, not reincarnate, not want to, it, like you can rest with source. And that's kind of what this void felt like to me.
But it sounds kind of like a place where you don't progress either.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like if you've fulfilled, you know, like you as a soul, at least my understanding, can decide when you think you've like fulfilled everything you want to experience. And it, I think it's also kind of like the womb where it is and it in turn it rest, where you're not having any experiences, where you're just waiting for the next experience. So I don't know if it's an eternal rest, but it feels like a rest.
Well, and you mentioned earlier this super bright light arch. And then, of course, in this void, this black velvety sort of dark place. Why do you think they were so opposite? What was the purpose of that? Because it doesn't sound like one was good and one was bad.
No, they weren't. And that's just human judgment. And spirit, to me, they always show me everything has its purpose to take you to the next level, the next understanding. So for me, I think there are so many, I call it layers of truth and experience and things that have been created. I think that's why, even though they have commonalities, these experiences are all different. I've had five and each one was completely different. I went to a completely different place. And not because I was being judged or not worthy of this or that. There was no judgment in any of these, other than, like I said, you know, my spirit team going, you know, your level of light, you should know better. Stop. You almost killed yourself off and you got stuff to do. So to me, all of this we've created in one form or another. They show me literally like a Rolodex. We're constantly making choices and picking different timelines by those choices of what we want to experience. And deja vu, and like now, it used to be deja vu. Now it's just I see like the number 19, like that always tells me I'm on the path that I chose. 19 is my path. So there's always those signs that I'm staying with the choices I had planned and experiences. And I did have a profound experience with Archangel Michael that helped me understand this a little bit. I was very upset about a few years ago because some of my health issues had revisited me, and I had already made the agreement to be of service. So I was like, you know, if you want me to continue to be of service, you need to heal this physical vessel. You know, like, you know, I agree to do this. I'm doing what I said. You know, I can't do what you asked me to do. And, you know, this keeps breaking down kind of thing. I was very angry. I think I was swearing. I'm not even sure, to be honest. And I literally was taken out of body. And he said, I can't remove what you've already pulled into your experience. I can only ease your attachment to it so it moves through your experience faster. And that gave this whole line of remembrance that he showed me, you know, because sometimes we plan certain things or, oh, we plan an illness, but how deeply we attach to it is how much it plays out in our experience. You know, he showed me like whether you have a sniffle or pneumonia is how much you feed it. You know, if you get in this whole fear thing and like how much you feed into it. And I realized like, yep, I was back to feeding being sick, which I had left behind many years ago. To be clear, like it's almost 10 years ago now. I was almost completely bedridden. Could still get to the store, but I mean, I was very weak. I found out I was severely anemic and my liver and kidneys were shutting down. They were at the beginning stages of failure. And I saw this meme, like, what thought are you feeding? And I realized I was feeding sick. And from that point on, I completely flipped the switch. I stopped chasing all the experts and studying all my supposed 16 autoimmune and comorbidity diagnoses. And I just chose. I chose differently and I switched. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Eastern, Western matter, any of those things. I've been a part of both. What I'm saying is understanding those and that all choices are like that. You know, all the different things we plant, how much we choose to experience of that experience. That's where the free will plays in, like how deeply you want to experience things that you had put on your path.
All right, before we wrap up, just a couple of quick things. Because we've covered so much territory today. You need some kind of spiritual frequent flyer miles or something for all of this that you've been through and places that you've been and seen. But first of all, what's your level of fear of death?
Oh, I have no fear of death itself. My only thing that I still have, you know, like anxiety about is like, you know, everybody wonders how it's going to happen or like the whole part of suffering first or any of those things. I was removed before there was any like major suffering. So I trust that will happen again. I joke sometimes that I have more of a fear of living than I do of dying.
You mentioned that you learned a lot of why that this stuff happened. Can you just wrap up with a message for our listeners that they can learn from a lot of the things that you've been through?
Part of my fourth experience and things that I have learned since is emotions, how we deal with them, how we react with them. Everything, that frequency of thought, emotion, and attention creates everything. If you don't deal with emotions in the moment, they bottle up. They literally encapsulize in various parts of your body. As a medical intuitive, I can tell you this. So the key thing spirit always tells me is to deal with your emotions authentically in the moment. If so, you know, if you need a minute to breathe, fine, but you need to express yourself, your emotions, and not let them become an entity of themselves, which can happen sometimes like outside of yourself because it's such a strong emotion with traumas, or within yourself where it encapsulizes and eventually causes dis-ease. Emotion is the key creator. The power of words was all part of my fourth experience because words hold frequency and all of the energy that we've ever fed that particular word. So think how often people have fed the word sick. Even the Western vocabulary, the majority of it carries a negative frequency. So be mindful of all of that, like how you speak to yourself, how you speak to your body, how you speak to others, because you are creating your reality in every now moment with what you're choosing when you do so. And I think if people were more aware of all of that and trying to be more authentic in your emotions, in your expression in the world, we're our own worst judge. So stop judging yourself and how you perceive others are going to see you. Because I have found the more authentic you are, the more you can accept love. Because if you're not being authentic, you cannot truly love yourself. So you'll never, until you do that, you don't feel love from others because you don't accept it, because you already know that you are putting on a mask and not being your authentic self. So there's a lot of that going on for people to find healing or align with their highest frequency, however you want to put these things, that authenticity, and also to respect sovereignty. We throw labels at people and expectations because of those labels. When you think mom, think of how many things you expect a mother to be. And you judge everything off of that expectation. And they're human just like you, having experiences, emotions they don't know what to do with. I think overall, that is the best I can leave anyone as a thought to think on, because that, no matter whatever level of spiritual awareness you have, can change everything. And you know, to keep your mind open that anything literally is possible. We are limitless creator beings. And the more you try to box yourself in, the more suffering and chaos you create, because I've seen it in my experience with Yeshua. He showed me all how we're creating that suffering and chaos within ourselves. And that accountability, responsibility, that we're the ones actually creating it. When you take that accountability, that's when you can see great change.
Sounds good. If anyone wants to reach out to Lorelei, your website will be in the show notes. And thank you so much, Lorelei, for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun to have a conversation with you. And I hope I can impart some of the things I've learned through my experiences.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.